This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best in Islam, where we're looking at what Islam considers to be the best in our lives, whether it is in the mundane aspects of our lives, which may not seem to be connected to religion, or whether it is from the religious acts themselves, or those related to the religion. There is, in Islam, general guidance for what is in fact best. So that is what we're looking at. What Allah said in the Quran, what Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, said from his sunnah, this provides for us a platform from which we would understand what's best in our lives. The texts of the Quran and the Sunnah, which speak about what is best, were compiled into a single compilation, which I published back in the 90s. Currently, it is being published in India and in Malaysia. And you can follow all of the hadiths that we speak about here and the verses of the Quran in that text. Anyway, we are moving on now to another theme, and the theme here is that of fasting. What's best with regards to it? First and foremost, it was referred to as the best of deeds. We have a narration from Abu Umama in which he reported that he asked the Messenger of Allah, "Ayyul amali afdal?" Which deed is best? Faqal, he replied, عَلَيْكَ بِالصَّوْمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا عِدْلَ لَهُ. He replied, fasting, for there is nothing equal to it. Fasting, because there is nothing equal to it. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, here described the best deed as fasting. We've had other narrations in which he described the best deed as being saying that there's no God worthy of worship but Allah. The best deed, in some narrations, for those who asked, was not to get angry. The best deed, in other circumstances, he gave other answers. So, from it, we understood that the best deed may vary from person to person. There is an ultimate best, which is the declaration of faith, but that, under the general umbrella of the best of deeds, are things which are relevant to different individuals. So one person who had a difficulty in managing his anger, he told him the best deed for you is control your anger. This other person, Abu Umama, one of his companions, asked him, what deed is best? And he told him, fasting, because there's nothing equal to it. Other occasions he told other people. So his wisdom led him to give what was best suited to the person who was asking. But on other occasions, he would speak of the best in general. So in this case, for Abu Umama, he prescribed fasting. He also prescribed fasting for young people who couldn't get married, who had the desire to get married, but they didn't have the means to get married. He said, fast. After that, fast. Because for them, he went on to explain, it reduces the desires, the physical desires, which may cause people to develop bad habits. In Islam, we're advised to fast. Fasting is a solution for cooling out desires for those who desire to be married, sexual desires, and are unable to fulfill those desires. So, in the case of Abu Umama, Allah knows best whether that was what was behind his circumstance, that the Prophet gave him that advice, or whether it was just general advice anyway. We can take that hadith on its general implication that fasting, there is no equivalent to it. The goals of fasting are fundamentally to achieve God consciousness, because that's what Allah described the fast as producing, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, in order that you may become God conscious. That's the actual phrase that God uses in the Quran to describe purpose of fasting, to develop that God consciousness. Of course, we all need it. That's not something special to some people and not to others. We all need God consciousness. So, fasting is one of the best ways of developing that God consciousness. Because who knows that you fast? Who knows that you're fasting? You may appear like everybody else to be fasting during the month of Ramadan. You're not eating and drinking publicly. But when nobody's around, you could be eating and drinking. Even in the workplace, you could step into the bathroom, you have your Snickers bar in your pocket, and take a bite, then come back out. You look like everybody else, fasting, but you're not. So this is something between you and God. What stops you from doing that, biting your Snickers bar, what stops you is that this was a command from God. God knows what you're doing. You can hide from the people going in the bathroom, but you can't hide from God. So that awareness of God, which causes you to fulfill the requirements of the fast, that is what we want to heighten and to develop during fasting. Because the more that we can be conscious of God, the better people we become. Ultimately, this is where the best lies. Taqwa. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Indeed, the most noble of all human beings in the sight of Allah is the one most conscious of God. Not the one with the most money, from the highest caste, from the most powerful family, or the other areas that people tend to think that power lies, fame. What is most important to God, what God judges or uses as the basis of judging who is in fact the best of people, is consciousness of God. So fasting heightens that consciousness. And that's why there's nothing equivalent to it, nothing else equal to it. In other narrations, the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, has said that Allah said, all other deeds are done for ourselves. Human beings do them for themselves. They take direct benefit from it. Whereas in the case of fasting, it is done purely for Allah. Allah said, and I would personally reward for it. Special. He gives the special reward. That special reward is expressed in the gate in paradise, Rayyan, a gate in paradise specially for those who fast. Allah has set it aside specifically for those who fast. So, fasting has a very important role to play in human life, so much so that all of the prophets fasted. Allah prescribed fasting for all of the nations before. That's why in the Quran, when Allah talks about the fast of Ramadan, He speaks about the people who came before doing similar thing. Different time in the year, the month is named by a different name, but basically it's the same principle, that this was prescribed for human beings because they need, human beings need to develop a consciousness of Allah, a heightened consciousness of Allah. So the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, told Abu Umama to stick to fasting. Alayka bis-sawm, fast. Make it a part of your life. Make it a regular part of your life, because there's nothing equal to it. And that's why the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, also recommended fasting on Mondays and Thursdays of every week, so that we don't think of fasting as only being confined to one month in the year, the month of Ramadan. It is a month of fasting, truly. We fast the whole month. No other month in the year are we allowed to fast the complete month, Ramadan. However, we are encouraged in every month, every week, to fast Mondays and Thursdays. These are recommended days of fasting. They're good for us. And we should try to keep them, introduce them into our lives. Our whole family fasts together, breaks our fast together. It's a great unifier, and it's a great purifier. In coming episodes, we will look in more depth in fasting. But for now, we're going to take a break and come back to look further into the greatness, the best qualities of fasting. I'll see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Money, money, money. Our ears perk up at the mention of money. Bank account growing, investments increasing. But wait, where are you getting all this money from? Are your sources halal? Are your dealings halal? Are you aware of the legislations of transactions? Seem to be lost. Don't worry, we have just the right thing for you. Money Matters, an Islamic perspective on finance. An exclusive course on Money Matters in Islam, presented by Brother Mansoor Danish. This course is unique. Why? Because it will enable you to understand the prohibited transactions in Islam, riba in Islam, the ruling of transactions affecting us in our daily lives. Examples: home loan, car loans, personal loans, credit card, insurance, interest from banks, etc. Permissible alternatives to prohibited transactions, requirements for a valid sale contract, and many more. To know more, be a part of this groundbreaking course and extract maximum benefits.
Welcome back from the break. In the early part of our episode, we were looking at fasting as a general principle and its great benefits. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had said, فَإِنَّهُ لَا عِدْلَ لَهُ. Indeed, there is nothing equal to it. Now, the best fast, according to Jundub, who narrated from the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, أَفْضَلُ السِّيَامِ بَعْدَ رَمَضَانِ الشَّهْرَ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ الْمُحَرَّمُ. The best fast after Ramadan, because we know, in terms of fasting in a month, the best month for fasting is Ramadan. But the best fast after that is the month you call Al-Muharram. This month, which is considered to be the first month of the lunar calendar. It has a day, the 10th, known as Ashura. Ashura, a day which we are strongly recommended to fast on. The day of Ashura. The reward for fasting on the day of Ashura is that it removes the sins, that is the minor sins, of the previous year. This is, in other words, it's a purifier, a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fasting on one day. That is in the month of Muharram. Fasting in that month in general is also recommended as the best month to fast in after Ramadan. So, fasting in Muharram should be a regular practice within our homes. We should encourage the rest of the family members to fast along with us. Not just know this and then we only fast by ourselves. No, we should try to engage all the family members to fast in the month of Muharram, but especially the 10th. And the Prophet ﷺ also recommended either fasting along with it the 9th or the 11th. Now, in terms of the month for fasting, the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, on another occasion, used to fast himself more in other months than in the general months of the year. Aisha said, "Kana ahabba ash-shuhuri ila Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an yasumahu Sha'ban thumma yasiluhu bi Ramadan." The fast which the messenger most liked to fast voluntarily was Sha'ban, fasting of the month of Sha'ban, the month before Ramadan. Then he would join it to Ramadan. So this was his own practice. However, his recommendation was Al-Muharram. His own practice, which was observed, was Sha'ban. So we can look at Sha'ban as also being amongst the best months to fast. In fact, in some narrations, it was mentioned that he used to fast in that month, in the month of Sha'ban, more than in any other month. More than in any other month. And that doesn't contradict the fact that he said the best month to fast in, for everybody in general, the best month to fast in was Al-Muharram, after Ramadan. And we should note here that he used to connect it up, Sha'ban, you connect it up with Ramadan. We're not allowed to do that. We're supposed to stop fasting a few days before Ramadan starts. We're not allowed to connect it to Ramadan. This was something special for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. In terms of continual fasting, for those who want to fast more, that we mentioned the 2 days, Mondays and Thursdays. Also, the Prophet mentioned the days of the full moon to fast on those days. That's the 13th, 14th, and 15th of every lunar month. So these are further recommended days for fasting. But for those who wanted to fast even more, when they came and they mentioned to the Prophet ﷺ they want to fast like all the time, he forbade it. He didn't allow them to fast continually. Though he himself did so on certain occasions, certain times. But he didn't allow it for anybody else. And what he said for those who wanted to fast continually, he said, "The best fast is that of my brother Dawood. أفضل الصوم صوم أخي داود كان يصوم يوما ويفطر يوما ولا يفر إذا لاقى." The best fast is that of my brother Dawood, who used to fast every other day, and he would never flee when he met the enemy in battle. The fast of Dawood. This is the preferable fast for those who would like to fast continually. Every other day. You fast a day, you break the fast the next. You fast the next day, you break the fast after that. So why is that better than fasting continually? Because if you fast every day, what tends to happen is that your body adjusts itself to a new cycle. Right now, it is our norm that we fast at night. We don't really call it fasting, but when we eat in the morning, what do we call that morning meal? Break fast, breakfast. We're breaking the fast of the night. We haven't eaten all night, we slept. So if we fast every day, and this is just a continual thing, then the day will become like the night. You will become so used to it that it becomes a norm. You don't feel and experience all of the things that you should feel and experience in the fast anymore. It's lost. So that's why it's better to fast a day and break the fast the next. So your body never gets used to it. There's always a challenging aspect to the fast. You're always conscious of the fast. You have to make conscious decisions concerning the fast. This is what is best. So the fast, for those who want to fast continually throughout the year, should be the fast of Dawood, the fast every other day. And in that way, we can also renew our intention, make sure we don't end up in an automatic mode where you're just fasting out of ritual. It's just the norm. We eat breakfast. We fast at night. We don't even think about it. Oh, I fasted last night. No. It's just the norm. It doesn't have any meaning. So similarly, we don't want to get into fasting in that way. That's why we only do it in the month of Ramadan. That's it. Once in a year, we fast every single day. Outside of Ramadan, we don't do it. Instead, we choose the fast of Dawood. And in that way, that's why the Prophet ﷺ had said that if you don't set your intention before the fast, you really don't have a fast. Before the beginning of the fast, if you have not made the intention and you just slide into the fast in Ramadan, much of the value of the fast is lost because it has now just become an automatic ritual for you. You're on automatic pilot. It's a norm. You don't feel it really. You're not really conscious of it. So as not to take it in that way as just a common habit and custom, we are required, even in the month of Ramadan, to make an intention every day for the fast. We don't start in the beginning of the month of Ramadan and say, I'm going to fast all the days. And then that's it. We don't need to make any more intentions. No. Each day that we go to fast, we should renew our intention to fast in order to keep the fast on a conscious level and not allow it to be reduced to an unconscious level where we're automatically doing things without even thinking about it. So the fast recommended for us outside of Ramadan is the fast in the month of Shawwal. That is the best fast to do. In terms of the month of Sha'ban, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to fast more in that month than any other month. But in terms of continual fasting, the best continual type fast is the fast of Dawood alayhi salam, the fast of every other day. Renew our intention for fasting every other day. And that way the fast stays alive. We stay conscious. We're active spiritually, emotionally, intellectually. We remain active in our fast and not fall into a sleep mode where we're just doing things as everybody else does it. It's all prepared around us. It's just a custom. If our fast is reduced to that, then we have lost its meaning. We need to revive the fast in our lives. Fasting in Islam is a way of life. With that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us on this episode of The Best in Islam. And we hope that you will continue to follow this series throughout the year. I bid you now farewell and pray for your success. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.